common mistakes student pilots make on check rides? Well, are we talking ground? Are we talking flight?
Let's start with ground and go to flight.
How do you find a trustworthy flight instructor?
I think that a trustworthy flight instructor, the biggest thing for me is, how do you know when you're ready to take passengers? It's probably goes in two parts, just in general versus on longer trips.
Well, I took my first passengers. What are some good ways to get involved in the aviation community? And I know you've touched on some of these in the past, but that's always a good reminder.
Okay, the first one.
Welcome to the Aviation Mentors Podcast, the podcast that takes your dreams of flight and turns it into reality.
Sponsored by Strass Financial, financing your flight training.
For pilots, by pilots. I'm Brandon Martini, a commercial pilot and flight instructor.
And I'm Carson Vasquez, I'm a private pilot.
Whether you're a seasoned pilot or beginner with dreams of flight,
Aviation Mentors is your source for expert insights, industry trends, and inspiring stories.
So fasten your seatbelts and prepare for this incredible journey through the skies.
And stay connected with us on social media for exclusive content.
And visit our website at www.aviationmentors.com and let us be your co-pilot on this adventure.
Welcome back, everybody, to another awesome and, of course, amazing episode of the Aviation Mentors Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today. Today, we are actually diving into what we're calling part six of our listener question series.
I really like doing these. These are always fun. I know I say it every time, but I really enjoy them. There's just something about like the unscripted of just being able to answer questions.
Carson, they like you too.
I really hope so because they keep coming. So
perfect. So what is question one? Is it for me or is it for you?
I'd rather give this one to you. Question number one is, what are the most common mistakes student pilots make during check rides?
Oh, this one is a hard one, and it depends on every single rating that you're doing, rating or certificate.
Student pilot. Let's just say they're going for the private.
Okay, we'll use private, so probably the easiest one to kind of go with. All right, so most common mistakes student pilots make on check rides. Well, are we talking ground? Are we talking flight?
Let's start with ground and go to flight.
Okay, I figured just like a check ride. Say that, just like a check ride. There's a common one where students don't know how their endorsements work and they don't check their own endorsements. That one is a pretty common mistake.
Where do you find endorsements again?
6165 Juliet.
Juliet, not hotel.
Advisory circular 6165 Juliet. So if I were you and you were a student pilot, although you're not really required to know this, your CFI should be doing a really good job. You should double check your own endorsements. I have told you most DPEs will not fail a student if they mess up on an endorsement, if they can get their instructor to come in there and fix it for them.
It's always good to have your instructor on hand when you start your check ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's also good to not take your check ride outside of business hours in case there's an issue with the plane.
I would also agree with that. Yeah.
We'll get to those in a sec.
We will. So I always tell the student to double check all the endorsements. And to be honest, I would even send the endorsements to the DPE earlier if you can. Have them basically do a little sign off on those endorsements to make sure that they're correct.
They're usually more than happy to be helpful.
Yeah.
They want it to go well just as much as you do.
There's some DPEs that are so specific on the way they want things that they will give a packet. I love those DPEs that give packets and say, here, fill this out. That way we know nothing is missing. There's some other DPEs that will require you to have all of your ground logged in your logbook in a specific way. So once you get a rapport with these DPEs, you know exactly what they want. You get a printout and put on sticky paper and you stick it in the back of the logbook. That's fine. Or they give you one of these packets, which I really, really like. Especially newest CFIs will mess up on an endorsement and have to go redo it. I will say I have never had somebody, knock on wood, not be able to take a check ride because my endorsements were not correct. I know my endorsements very, very, very well, and I won't allow that to happen to a student.
Well, you had to. You had a flight school, and you had to oversee instructors who were also giving out endorsements. The CYA of giving out an endorsement to your own students.
That's the exact reason why I probably had to learn it as well as I did, but that's really common thing in the beginning. Another one is not being very strong on weather charts. It is a broad topic, yes. I mean, both of those are pretty broad topics. Really just know where your flight plan is planned, right? Be able to explain that flight plan. Be able to explain all the facets of that flight plan and what happens if something has to change mid-flight. What are you going to do? How do you file a flight plan? That's one that some people are not learning.
Most people don't, I think. How to file a flight plan.
It should be learned. I believe it's even in the ACS, but I don't think it's getting tested on that much. But as people start getting deficient in things, the DPEs start drilling down on those deficiencies. So I would say those are some really common ones from a real high level. On the flight portion, short field landings and soft field landings and takeoffs, those are probably some pretty common ones.
I think knowing when to say that you don't want to do the flight portion.
What do you mean by that?
So working at the front at the flight school, right? Mm-hmm. I heard a lot about check rides, saw a lot go on. And there was a lot of days where it was either windy or too overcast. And I knew that DP, when they'd come in, they're going to say, how do you feel about flying today? And if the student has a, you know, it's a check ride, right? That's game day. Mm-hmm. It's like, get their itis is never stronger than during a check ride.
Yeah.
You just want to get this done.
And my perception has been, if the weather's pretty deteriorating, this is how I would handle it. Because you can't start a check ride unless you intend on flying, by the way. So I would tell the DP, I said, if we were to go fly right this moment, I'm not a fan of the weather, but I would love to start the check ride and I would love to reevaluate this at the end of our oral to see if weather has improved.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. And then if they say, well, do you want to check the weather right now and see if it looks like it's going to improve? You can say, sure, I'll check it right now. And I'll say, I don't think it's going to improve, but there's a chance it might because weather's unpredictable. And I would love to continue with this portion of the check ride. And I have full intention of flying as long as the weather gets better.
That's a smart way to put it.
But there's a problem. Some DPEs are going to be like, well, I don't really want to do this check ride today. And they're just going to like walk off because they're lazy. And when that happens, yeah, you probably shouldn't be done doing
it. It's luck of the draw with the DP sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you have to have the intention to go fly. So if the weather is terrible and there's zero chance, technically DP doesn't have to start it.
Can you call WX brief during the check ride?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I've seen people do it.
I'd put them on the phone with the
DP. Yeah, might as well.
And be like, I don't know. Let's check if it's going to get better. That's what I would do.
So I would say short field landings are probably the most common mistake people make because you have to name your spot and you've got what? I think it's 200 feet. It's been a little while since I've had to train those. Basically, you've got two stripes down. Make sure you get in this area, right? Make sure it's a nice landing, not a terrible one. And make sure you're not porpoising down the runway, stuff like that.
Yeah. Are you definitely failing that check ride?
And people also confuse short field and soft field takeoffs and landings quite often.
I could see confusing the takeoff portion, but not the landing.
Well, some people think that if you're doing a soft field landing, it also has to be short. Now, you are correct that most soft fields are grass and they are also short runways.
Yeah, you're not going to see 2 miles of just grass for a runway, but...
Yeah, but that's not what you're simulating here.
Yeah, you're going for short field is you're going to hit that spot and you're going to stop the plane fast. And soft field is you're going to hit that plane or hit that spot gentle and keep that nose up the entire time as long as you can. And that's really what the DP wants to see. It doesn't need to be perfect. Yeah, they're not expecting perfection.
Don't slam on your brakes on a soft field.
Yeah, they're expecting you to follow the processes.
Correct.
That's what's
ACS is there for a reason.
Of course. And the other thing I think a lot of student pilots don't pay attention to is that ACS. Is you're told to read the ACS. This is the test. These are the questions you're going to be asked. And they're like, oh, this is just a lot of information. Okay. Now, I would look up every single part of that ACS, have other people ask me questions on it.
Let's see what you do when you're on your instrument rating, Carson.
Okay, let's go for it. I have all the time in the world.
All right, next question. How do you find a trustworthy flight instructor? I'll let you take a stab at this one.
Okay.
Stab.
Yeah, I want to stab my flight instructor, so good thing is... Oh, Brandon, hey, sorry. I think that a trustworthy flight instructor, the biggest thing for me is they respect my time as much as I respect theirs. That is the key part for me, is I'm going to show up early to my flight and I'm going to be ready for my flight as long as the plane's ready in there. But I want that instructor to also be early and minimum on time for my flight, but be ready to take it. And if I can't trust my instructor to be on time, how am I supposed to trust my instructor to care about the quality of education I'm receiving?
Yeah, I would agree. I also think that it's really good to interview flight instructors and see who you vibe with the best.
So how would you go about doing that, a student going to a flight school? Like, you walk in, what would you say?
I would say, hey, how would you train me? What are the techniques you would use to train me? What does a typical day, a flight lesson look like to you? And if they say, we'll hop in the plane, well, you go do the pre-flight, I'll double check after you, then we'll make sure we got some gas and we'll go burn some holes in the sky. I think that's the guy you want to say no to. Now, there's somebody else says, okay, so we're going to have a 2-hour lesson every day. It's going to start on time. We're going to be meeting in the classroom. We're going to work for 15 to 30 minutes. We're going to be briefing the flight that we're going to be doing and what you're going to be getting trained on. And we're going to go out to the aircraft. And after you've done it several times, we should be able to do a pre-flight pretty quickly. We'll get that pre-flight done. As long as there's no issues, we're going to go ahead and go over to the run-up area and taxi and make sure we're working on proper phraseology all the time, every lesson. Let's go do that run-up, do a proper run-up, make sure the airplane's warmed up before we do that run-up. If everything looks good and checks out there, we're going to taxi over to the runway and we're going to execute our planned lesson for the day. And that lesson should have been in accordance with a syllabi that you'd be using. and it should be on a specific lesson. And you should already know the standards that are going to be met. And we'll go take off and go do that lesson. If everything's good, we'll come back. We'll do a debriefing on what went well, what could have went better. And if you did really well for the day, we'll sign you off on that lesson and we'll go on to the next one and start again. There's what a good instructor should say versus what a bad instructor should say.
And an excellent instructor says all that and then shows you the syllabus they use.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I agree. So, any other thoughts on that?
No, I mean, that pretty much kind of hammers it out for me. And if your flight school does not allow you to kind of check out different instructors, that flight school is not for you. Yep. Don't go there.
Easy as that.
Yeah. If you have a Stratus loan, we'll transfer it to a new school that will allow you to.
Yeah, we'll take care of you.
You know what time it is, Carson?
Time's a brain.
It's time to talk about one of our favorite companies.
Which company would that be?
Aviation Mentors is excited to be sponsored by the one and only Stratus Financial, dedicated to supporting the next generation of future aviators.
You know, Stratus Financial really understands the financial challenges that students face in pursuing their aviation dreams. That's why they offer student loans specifically tailored to aspiring pilots.
With competitive rates and flexible repayment plans, Stratus Financial helps take your aviation education to new heights.
So go visit their website today at www.stratus.finance. Just to be clear, that is not .com, it's .finance. And embark on your journey towards a sky full of possibilities.
Carson, it's time to get back to what we do best.
The show.
The show.
Next question is, how do you know when you're ready to take passengers? Let's break this into two parts, just in general versus on longer trips.
Well, I took my first passengers, my sister, her boyfriend, now husband, and my son Austin in a car seat the day after I got my private pilot.
On a day you should have been flying or should not have been flying?
I look back now and like, I probably wasn't a great pilot then. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. So I don't know. It's just whenever you feel ready. And whenever your friends and family are ready to go in an airplane with you.
And trust you.
And trust you.
Yeah.
I will say that I took up my family the day after and I went on cross countries with them the following week after. And I did a trip to Oshkosh, like 75 or 80 flight hours total.
Did?
Yeah. And I flew the Fisk arrival. Yeah. And
you're still here.
And I'm still here.
You don't have a pilot deviation, so you're doing
And
great.
I didn't even have an instrument rating.
And you flew from where to where?
Southern California to Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah, and just back. A
short hop and skip.
Yeah. I mean, I took the southern route and then went north to get there. And then I took the northern route and came south to get back.
That's pretty cool.
It was really cool. I learned more on that flight, the actual across the country flight, than I have on any other flight I've ever done.
I can only imagine.
I learned about thunderstorms. I learned about updrafts, downdrafts, density, altitude, like real life examples. I already knew about all these things in practicality.
We actually got to see it in action.
See it, deal with it. Especially,
I'm sure your radios were fantastic at the end of that.
My radios were good already.
Of course. Well, my first time was the day I got my private. And that night I took my dad up
for a night flight.
Oh, yeah. I always loved night flights. And I had I think half my hours were night flights at that point.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I love night flights. So I took my dad up that night. I was like, wait, I think I got to get current. Check my logbook. I was like, okay. I just took my check ride, but let me go get night current.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I took him up just around Corona. It was a lot of fun.
That sounds awesome.
But I knew I wasn't ready to go take a long flight with someone else. I mean, I already had enough on my plate and I wasn't as confident as Brandon is. So I figured let's do something small and stay local and in the area I know.
Do you want to hear what a really cool night flight is on a little sidebar conversation? I went up, it was probably 8 or 9 years ago. I went up on 4th of July.
Oh, I always talk about wanting to do that.
And fireworks were lighting up around me.
That's got to be so cool.
Not like around, but like under me by like 2,000 feet. And it was so cool to watch all the fireworks because in LA, all the illegal fireworks are blowing up everywhere.
Oh, there's so many everywhere.
I mean, It was super cool.
I've seen so many videos and it just looks awesome. SoCal Aviators on Facebook, that group chat. Oh, man. You see 4th of July, New Year's Eve. All these days just lit up.
I normally throw a really big 4th of July party every year, so I haven't been able to do it in a very long time.
I know. I was thinking, I was like, I'd love to do that, but we're always at Brandon's for 4th of July.
I know. This year, I don't think we're going to do 4th of July party because I think I'm going to Europe for a month. What? I'll go wine tasting in France, the south of France.
What about your birthday?
I'm skipping my birthday this year.
Wow.
Yep.
No, this is a huge moment for you. You're growing up.
I'm growing up. I'm getting old.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm saving money.
All right. I think we have time for one more question, Carson.
Okay.
What are some good ways to get involved in the aviation community? And I know you've touched on some of these in the past, but that's always a good reminder.
Okay. The first one is, I think, pretty obvious. EAA. I love EAA, and Young Eagles especially is a great way for pilots to be involved. Go in and there's just a couple steps to go get, make sure you're not a creep, and they check you out. And then you can go and fly. I think EAA, the chapters all host different times and different events, but you go to that airport and you take up kids. It's a lot of fun. Good way to get the youth involved in aviation. And looking back on it, I did one of those flights when I was a Boy Scout, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And did over at Flay Bob. And I remember we're in the big hangar.
An Eagle Scout?
I am an Eagle Scout. Yeah.
Humble brag.
I know. I am an Eagle Scout. Thanks. And a pilot. Yeah. But you already knew that one. But we did the Young Eagle flight and we went to that hangar. What was that big hangar called? The one at Flay Bob?
Stitz.
Yeah. We're over there. And I remember some guy was talking to us and we did the flight and it was amazing. And I met that same guy a few years later and that was Jim O'Brien.
No way. O'Brien's the one who gave you your first flight?
Jim O'Brien.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
So it wasn't until I saw him and made that connection when I went to the EAA event that they had for chapter one over at Stitz Hangar again.
Nice.
And I saw him and I was like, this looks familiar. I got some deja vu. Started racking my brain and realized Jim O'Brien is my first flight.
That's hilarious. By the way, Jim is setting up, he has left chapter one and he's created a new chapter at Riverside Airport now.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I told him I wasn't going to do anything in the chapter, but I told him I'd support. So I sent him $50 and I'm now a member of his chapter.
That's cool. I'll support too.
Outside of that, I know there's some other ways to get involved in aviation. I know Carson used to do the Pilots and Paws stuff. There's Angel Flight West where you can help sick people, flying them around. I would also say hang around the airport like an airport bum and go meet all the people just hanging out in their hangars.
People actually like airport bums.
I mean,
it's a lot of fun just talking aviation with someone that is obviously passionate. You're at the airport, right?
100%. You really want to go meet all the people that just want to go talk airplanes. Yeah. And you'll learn something along the way. Go meet other instructors if you're an instructor, or just hang out at the flight school and talk to other students, get little study groups going. So that's all good stuff to grow yourself in the aviation community. So I would highly recommend all of those things. So anything else you want to recommend before we wrap it up?
I don't think so. You touched on Pilots and Paws and that's my favorite part. So you're all good.
Nice. Well, thanks again, everybody, for listening to us today. Hope you got a little bit of insight on some of these questions. If you'd like to reach out to either one of us, you can reach us on our emails. It's brandon@aviationmentors.com, carson@aviationmentors.com, or for Mark, our producer, it's producer@aviationmentors.com. Please don't forget to hit like, follow, subscribe, stream, all the things on whatever streaming platform you're either listening to us on or hopefully watching us via YouTube. It's really a huge part of helping us grow the podcast and helping us grow our aviation community.
And as we wrap up for the day, remember, here to guide you in your aviation journey. So fly safe and enjoy the ride.
See ya.